Thank you. Wasn't that something? You know, I remember Bill Hybels once shared, you know, that the whole ministry of music, and one time he was going through a fearful time and he heard a song on the radio, and it was about, you know, we're a child of God, I'm no longer a child of fear. And he goes, I just needed to sing that till it became a reality in my soul. And I think that just made me understand this whole music thing. And there's some songs you just need to keep singing until God cements it to the center of your heart. And man, that's one of them. God bless you. It's good stuff. Well, it's a privilege to be back. For those who don't know, my name's Ed. And my wife is with me today. So, Nix, you want to stand? This is and my sister and brother-in-law have been with me. So, Nina, why don't you and Patrick stand? They're with us here. They've been here before. And they're 49er fans. Yeah, so, and then Mike and Sherry are here, and they're just longtime friends, so you know them. But at any rate, it's good to be back, and we're continuing on. For those who may not have been with us, we're going through Abraham versus Jacob. And we're picking back up with Abraham's life, and we're contrasting these two people. But I want to pick up, and for those who weren't a part of that, I want you to know we had this whole place set up like it was a huge map of the Holy Land. And if you remember right, we had Abraham. He was born in Ur, which is back in this area. He was called by God, came up to Haran, and he said, I want you to go on to the Canaan land. And the Canaan land was right here in the middle. God began working in his life. You remember, he came to the land of Canaan, and the first thing, the blessings of the Canaan land, right, was a drought. Wow, aren't you excited? So what did they do? They go over to Egypt. And they flee to Egypt. You remember, he lies. You know, this man of God lies. I'm afraid, you know, that. And as a result, he makes a fool of himself in front of the Pharaoh. And then he comes back. And he comes back here, and they were flourishing. And remember, he had Lot with him, and both of them flourished. And so now they had to make a decision. All right, one, you know, and Abraham had a generosity. Lot, take whatever land you want. I'll take whatever's left. Lot goes on to Sodom and Gomorrah. He stays behind. And then there was that battle, you know, that five kings attacked Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham. You know, I don't know about you, I just go, man, that's a shame. He grabs his men, they go out and they do battle with these five kings. These five kings sets Lot free, comes back, you know. And again, he's dwelling here. And this whole thing, Abraham, just listening to the voice of God, hearing. But then we come to a very interesting passage where he finally believes. You can do a lot of things, but there hasn't been this real substantial belief. We're going to be talking about that. Genesis 15, so we're picking up the story, but let's pray before we go into this passage. Father, I want to thank you for this time just to come and to evaluate our lives in light of you. And God, I thank you that we can sing. I thank you that we can know you. And Father, I pray that you would indeed use this time. And Father, there may be many here who's battling doubts and uncertainty. And Father, that's something that you want inside us to cement. Cement it in our soul that you are indeed real and you're worth following, that we need to know it, need to know it well and with certainty. And I pray that you'd use this time in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I've done over 300 weddings in my day, and one of the things I always challenge couples with, I said, you know, when you walk down the aisle, you don't want to be walking down like this. You know, and I also, it's really important, too, that you don't have a mom and dad in the background like this. Either. Or friends that know you well. If they're going like this, you should find out why. And you know the reason? There's going to be a test. You know, and you need to know when you're in a wedding or you're in a marriage that this thing is indeed good. It's a certain and right thing. And I want you to know this as well. When you enter this walk with God, you shouldn't go in like this. Man, I hope he's there. I really think he is. And I want to ask you, is there a certainty in your soul that what we talk about, what is said here, what is said about God, there's a certainty inside you? And I don't know about you, but I doubted everything. I doubted if I was doubting. And I found this, whenever you doubt, whenever there's an uncertainty, it just took the absolute wind out of your sails. God, I'll follow you, I think. Or And let me ask you, do you have a certainty inside of you? And you need to get those questions answered. God wants it answered in you. And you're never going to be what you need to be unless you get it answered. And yes, there will be a test. There's going to be a test. And we come into this passage. And I'm going to start it. It's in Genesis 15, if you want to turn there, but we have it up on the screen. And this is what's happened. So this was a situation. He's back in the Canaan land as we just went through Abraham's snapshot of his life up to now. And this is what happens. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram. And remember, Abram is his name before he got Abraham. This is before God changed his name a little while later. He says, I am your shield, your very great reward. Isn't that good? But there's a nagging question in Abram's life. Do you have a nagging question in yours? Makes you go, wait a minute. Abraham had a question, and this was it. But Abraham said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Nagging question. You know, there's an elephant in the room. He goes, hey, just want you to know, I don't have any children. Do you think God was surprised? He probably wasn't. But let me ask you, all of us have nagging questions. And he took this question to God. And I find this, that God doesn't mind when you ask your heartfelt question. But there's a big difference between asking and questioning. If you want to ask, God gives liberally. If you want to question because you want to get in a battle of mind and what ought to be happening here with God, don't let that man think he receives anything from God. But some of you need your questions answered. And I remember the questions I had. Okay, God, if you're real, then, man, this evolution thing and a lot of questions about things that were said versus what I thought was right. Began to take those questions to God, and we need answers. You notice the idea in this in regards to the importance of certainty and getting those questions answered. God wants our faith to be a certain faith. It's an important thing. It's important for you. It's important for me. It was important for Abraham. And some of us can be dealing with these questions. And he finally asked it. And notice point number one. How can we be certain? Notice point number one says, certain because of God's care. Because what happens right after this? We can be certain because of God's care for you. And Abraham's kind of going, wait a minute, God, you understand I don't have a child. Notice what happens. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son who is in your is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and he said, look up at the sky, count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Does God answer his question? He does. He says, hey, that's not going to be your heir. It's coming from your own body. And he took him out. I want you to look up in the skies. Can you see? You know, can you count the stars? That's how many your offspring you're going to have. Is that a good answer? Get that heartfelt question taken to God and you get an answer. But notice what happens after this. The next verse. Abraham believed the Lord and he credited to him as righteousness. At last, this belief, this firm foundation of I trust and rely upon came. And it was counted to him as righteousness. What happened here? You know, in some of you, you lack certainty. But what happened? I think there's several things that we learned. That what changed? All of a sudden, Abraham was different. Now, he'd been doing a lot of things. But this made him really believe. And it says that what you find here, I think that he learned that this thing with God needs to be very, very personal. And that you need to know that this personal God personally cares for you. Abraham learned that. God took him outside, and every time he looks up in the stars, he's reminded of a promise that was given to him. God, promise me an offspring. You know, I don't know if you go to the mail. Don't you love to receive junk mail? What do you do with that stuff? Yeah, you just, it's where it belongs. You throw it away. You know, sometimes we think this word is just junk mail. It's just been sent to everybody. God loves everybody, right? Everybody gets junk mail, and it becomes meaningless. And then you get personal letters. When you realize that this is a personal letter written to you and that God wants to speak to the center of your heart, and suddenly you tune in, it's a different thing. You know, it's a very personable thing. And until that happens with you, this thing with God is probably a pretty uncertain thing. God wants, and he spoke to Abraham, and he realized this is a very real thing. You know, it says, Jesus loved the little children, all the little children of the world. That's a good song. But it's not like, Jesus loves me, this I know. When all of a sudden this goes, you know, just not everybody, but it is, this is a personal thing. That God wants to talk to the center of you. Let me ask you, has that happened with you? Or is it just junk mail? It's just everybody I know and there's things you've done. What makes this happen? You need to take the questions, the things that hinder you, and you need to have that time with God and you take it to Him and say, God, would you answer this for me? And as I said, there's a big difference between asking God and questioning God. Can you go with a wide open heart and a wide open mind? And I find this, that God wants to be as personal with you as you'll be with Him. It amazed me as I began to receive the answers and all the different questions I brought to God, and God began to give answers, and suddenly this relationship I had with Him turned different. Has it happened with you? But not only do you get these answers come to you, but they're loving answers. And you realize that God is more than just honest with you, but the news He's got to share with you is indeed good news. It's about a God who loves you more than you even love yourself. And wants to answer and bring answers. And how important that is. But as I said, there's legitimate questions and there's also smokescreen questions. If you just want to try to fool God or, just some question, I'm just not interested. You can't fake God out. As I said before, it's like cheating on your diet. Who exactly are you kidding? You know? So part of what makes a certain faith is that we need to, to come and just take our heartfelt questions to God and watch him answer. And you'll find this, too, that when God answers with His love, it's beyond what you can even grasp or think. But not only that, you need to take these questions and have God reveal them. But another incredible question that Abraham asked, he goes, how do you know that things are going to be true? Haven't you ever wanted to ask God that? All right, God, how do we know that all this stuff you've told us is indeed true? What would God say? Abraham asked that as we go on to the next point. You know, certain because of God's foreknowledge is the next point. Notice what he said. He also said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of the Ur of the Chaldeans, which we've displayed here, to give you this land, to take possession of it. So he goes on. He goes, hey, you're going to have a great offspring. And this land that I've given you, he took me out of Ur, brought me here. You're going to possess it. Next question, what happens? So the Lord said to him, wait a minute, did we miss one? Verse 8, we didn't have it in there, did we? Okay, what's coming up? This is 7. Okay, so the Lord said to him, bring me a heifer. No, we're good. Let me read it to you. All right, hold on here. He says, give this land a possession. In verse 8, and he said to the Lord, O Lord God, how may I know that I shall possess it? Okay, so there's just another question. Okay, this land that you're going to give, verse 8. Abraham asked, okay, how can we know that we're going to possess it? Question, everyone wanted to ask that? Okay, God, all right, great promises. How do we know? How would God respond? And now we come back to this text. So, great question, right? So how does God respond? So the Lord said to him, bring me a heifer, a goat, and a ram, each 3 years old, and along with a dove and a young pigeon. How many are kind of confused by the answer? Great question, and all of a sudden, okay, now we got Old MacDonald had a farm. You know, it's like, what is going on here? So what does Abraham do? Hey, when God asked for it, Abraham brought all these to him, cut them in two, and arranged them, and the halves opposite each other. The birds, however, he did not cut in half. Then the birds of the prey came down on the carcasses, and he protected them from him. And as the sun was setting, Abraham fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. So you get the picture. So he brings these animals, cuts them in half, half on each side. Great question and a different answer. What was going on here? And we're going to get to this in just a moment. But he was cutting these animals in half, and now he's in this deep, dreadful sleep, right? Got the animals just like God said. And what does he dream? Notice what happens. Then the Lord said to him in this dream, know for certain that for 400 years your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated there. Question, did that happen? Mm-hmm. It did. But I will punish the nation. They serve as slaves, and afterwards they will come out with great possessions. Question, did that happen? You, however, will go to your ancestors in peace and be buried at a good old age. In the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, for the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure. Did that happen? It did. What was God doing here? Okay, we're going to get back to these animal splitting in just a moment. But there's this dream. What does God reveal? What's going to happen to these people? 400 years, they're going to be enslaved. Where are they going to go? Egypt. 400 years, they're going to be enslaved. And then they're going to be brought back to this land. And then they're going to possess it. And they're going to bring many possessions, and the Egyptians gave them all their wealth. And then he got back, but it's not going to happen with Abraham. He's going to die at a ripe old age, 175. Is that pretty good? And he died satisfied with life. Let me ask, what was God saying here? That I want you to know with God, the future is just as real as today. He says, I'm giving you my word, Abraham, but I want you to know this. I know it all. What's going to happen before it's happened? And he marked it out. You know why? So we can all know that this God who gave his promises sees before we ever see it. And it happens exactly the way he says it's going to happen. I can say to you, I'm going to come back next month. But I really can't give you, not near as certain as God can, because God sees the future. And he says, listen, I am giving you these promises, and you can be certain of it because of my foreknowledge. I've seen it, Abraham, and what I say, I speak, is true. And I can give you signs along the way that you can know, and you can know without doubt, you can know with certainty. You know, it's interesting. Why would God start sharing this thing? Now, realize this. After you promise this land, and then suddenly they go over into Egypt. You know, about year 275, I imagine some people start thinking, that's not going to happen. 275 years, that's about, you know, that's longer than our nation's been around. And you have to wait for a promise for 400 years. You think you might have some doubts? But God said, no, I said this, that way you can know. And when you go through some really intense times, you can wait and trust fully. You know, my wife, when she was raising her children, and we would watch movies, right? And we would watch, you know, all the Disney movies where somewhere along the line, one of the moms is going to die. And there's a lot of struggles that start happening in the movie. And you know what my wife would do? She would say, it's okay, it's going to work out. And she's comforting my kids, you know, during the rough times. And the reason why? She knew the end of the movie. And it comforted our kids. She could walk alongside them. You know what God does? Hey, it's okay. I'm out in front of you. It may look weird right now, bad right now, but I know how the movie ends. And I'm going to tell you the details that you can look and you can say, hey, this God who promised these things to me, been there, done that, seen it. Let me also say this. You know, a lot of times it doesn't work out the way you want it. It doesn't seem to fit in your mind. Whose idea is better? Yours or God's? Now, I don't know when you think, hey, got the land of Canaan, this is going to be great. But now you have a small little family, and the wickedness of the Amorites is all around you. Now you got to take over this country. You want to take it on as a little family? Or is it better to take you over into Egypt, give you favor with the land, so your family grows big, and you have millions now, and then you have to get them out of there. So you make everybody get this favor, you know, all that. Now you leave. Now you come back into the land. And you know what happened? You had all these miracles that people heard about, that this God is behind these people. And not only, now you're walking in line with millions of people with the power of God behind you, you walk in. And then God said, the wickedness of the Amorites is now complete. You know when wickedness ends? When God wants it to. And he brings it in, and now you're ready. Now, let me ask you, is that a better idea? And you realize this with the foreknowledge of God, he's got a better idea. And sometime, maybe you're 275, 276, that you're getting kind of sick of what's happening. You need to rest in the fact we got a God who knows better than we do, making the decisions. And we can rest in certainty. And Abraham was getting this, right? And one of the ways we can rest, that we know for certain, that we have a God who cares deeply for us. And he expresses it to us personally. But not only that, we've got a God who sees things before they ever happen. And he's telling us, hey, I've seen the end. Everything's going to work out just fine. But not only that, the last, point number three, because we were certain because of God's integrity. Notice what happens right after that. God's integrity as well. So what happens after this? We got these animals, right? And when the sun had set and the darkness had fallen, a smoking fire pot with a blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces. And then what happens after that? On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram and said, to your descendants I give this land, and from the Wadi of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates, and the land of the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadamites, the Hittites, Perizzites, Raphaites, the Gophliakites, no, I made that up, Amorites, Canaanites, Girgashites, and the Jebusites. And so this whole land, he says, now it's yours. So what was going on here? And what God said there, he says, I give you my word. You know what was happening? You know, this all these animals, why they were brought? What God was about to do was what they call cut a covenant. Back in the Old Testament, what they used to do, when people made a covenant, they would divide the animals in half, and the people making the covenant would walk between them. And these animals cut in half, and you know what that meant? If I disobey this covenant, may it be done to me what was done to these animals. You know why we have a wedding? You know why there's a bride side and a groom side? It's all back to this Old Testament custom. That the two people making the covenant agreement, right? Reason we pull the white runner, hey, we're walking on holy ground. We're making a covenant vow. May it be done to me what was done to these old animals if I don't keep this vow. It's all back to an Old Testament custom. This is where it came. And so what would happen? The two people would walk between it. But now if it was a, notice what happened here. A fire came in, consumed the animals. The only person who walked through that was God. You know what God was saying? This is an unconditional covenant. I give you my word, Abraham. It's based on my integrity. I consume all this. I'm telling you, this is going to happen. I give you my word. You know how come we're certain? You know why this is going to happen? God said, it is based on my integrity. Has he ever lied? All the things that he just said, every covenant agreement he's ever stated for thousands of years, if you want to read through the legacy, you can open the scriptures and you can read. That you and I can rest. This God, who does not, cannot, will not lie, gives you his word. And you can rest in it. He went, made the unconditional covenant with Abraham. You know what God is doing in this world? I remember this professor asked us that when we were in seminary. He goes, what is he doing? You know, he wants to make sure everybody gets saved or various things. What's happening? He goes, that's not what the... you know what's happening right now in this world? The God of glory is fulfilling his covenant agreement with Abraham that you just read right there. That's what God is doing. The God of glory. The salvation that we experience is all part of that covenant agreement as he's blessing the world through him. You know, as we conclude here, I want you to realize this, that God wants our faith to be a certain faith. We don't have to walk around like, oh, man. And how important that is. And I want to conclude, and I want to share a story, just my mom's story. And some of you have, you know, unsaved loved ones. And some of you have unloved saved ones. You know, you can have both. but you know, I had prayed for my mom for a lot of years. You know, that, you know, when I got saved, I remember I came to the Lord. And I've talked with some of you. Bill Barnett was in my youth group when I first got saved and all that. But I remember I came home and I told mom I just got saved. And my mom goes, you're not getting into that garbage, are you? And we're going, that's not a good response. You know, but that was kind of it. And for 30 years, I prayed for my mom. And if there's any progress, it was probably in reverse, you know. And just very hesitant about the whole Christianity thing or whatever. And what ended up happening, my mom and dad were in a car accident. Dad was killed. And then later on, mom came down with cancer. And the last 6 weeks, she came and she lived in her home. And we've been praying for years for my mom, and I love my mom dearly. And I remember, you know, as she got worse, and I remember sharing the gospel with her on the couch, just saying, you know, mom, there's two people who can pay the price for your sin, either you or Jesus. And my mom was just unflappable in that whole thing, but she just began to soften, and a lot of the love of the church, and in fact, our church flew her out. She was in California. I was back east in New Jersey at the time. And at any rate, all this was really but weighing on my mom, but I think the fear of death, which my mom, I've never seen her afraid of anything my entire life. I could tell it kind of rattled her. And she was frightened by this. And at any rate, bottom line is, I remember Nina's son, JJ, goes, Uncle Ed, you got to come. Grandma wants to get saved. I go, what? So I walk up, and sure enough, mom wants to receive Christ. And she's laying on her bed, and she can't get up. And she goes, yeah. And she goes, help me stand so I can pray. And I go, mom, you don't have to stand up to pray. She goes, you don't? She was stunned. Well, you stand. You know, she wants somebody standing. You know, she. So I stood and I prayed and we prayed. We let her. You know, she comes to the Lord and this was just a couple days before she died. And it was this amazing thing. But I remember, the day before she died, she brought me to her bedside and her bed was in our dining room. Hospital bed, and she took me by the shoulders. And she looked at me, she goes, I'm afraid, Ed. I'm afraid. And I go, Mom, the only thing I know that conquers fear is to trust God. And the problem with this, you got to trust him with something that is so big. And your relationship with him is so brand new. And my mom looked at me and she said, "That helps me, Ed. That helps me." Her last words to me, "He paid the price, right?" I said, "Yeah, Mom. He paid the price." And after that, we finally got her settled in the comatose, you know, morphine thing, and we never heard another word out of her till 18 hours later. She came before God. Now, let me ask you, did it happen? She's get a chance to see the reality that we speak of. And you know, I can say, yeah, it happened. You know how I know? Because we have a God who loves. And he's expressed his love to you and I in ways beyond that we can even comprehend. But not only that, we have a God who knew things before they ever happened, and he expressed them to us. And his foreknowledge is written, and you can read it. He's been speaking it. But not only that, this God of glory gave his word. It's based on my integrity. And you and I can rest, and we can be certain. And we can be. And I also want you to know this. There's going to be a test. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for this time we can come and just learn from your word, for the truths of your word. And Father, we can indeed, we don't have to walk around with our fingers crossed and with just hope. But we can indeed know for certain that you're a God who loves and you want to answer questions. And there may be questions in people's minds who have gone through some horrendous things. They need answers from you. Would you work? Would you walk with them and open their minds? Would they indeed be willing to trust you? Would you speak and bring certainty where there's doubt? Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Ed. Do we trust God? You better. You better trust God. Thank you, Ed, for what you had to say. If there's something that Ed has said or something you'd like to pray about, we have Amy and Matt right over here. We'd more than love to pray with you. And any of us would love to pray with you. It means a lot to us. You'll never know how much it means to us to see that and to hear it. Whatever he has on you, your heart, take the opportunity. It's hard because I just see how great he is and what he has done for us and gave up his son for us. So we have Matt and Amy over here more than willing to pray with you, any of us more than willing to pray with you. We want to thank the visitors for being here today, first time, and we hope you have felt the warmth of Grace Community Church, our love for you. We have a candle in the back that we'd like you to take, light it, smell it, listen to what God has to say to you, and we'd love to have you back. Also, we have our giving statements in the back, and you can pick those up. And we have boxes in the back and the front that you can give your offering to God, either online or text or in there. But you know what it's all about? It's each other. It's giving to each other. And the joy that you get in your heart by doing that. So let's remember what God has given to us. And you know, we have been praying for weeks, months, as a matter of fact, over 11 months. And we continue to ask you to pray for the PTT team. But we want to let you know that we have offered to Don Britton. Wait just a minute. The candidate, see, for senior pastor. And I want you to explain what that means. Candidate means that it's your opportunity to do the due diligence that we as the PTT team has done for the last 11 months on our knees, praying every day for God's man. We have gone through over 50 men, and he kept eliminating and kept eliminating and kept eliminating and kept directing us where to go. And it came down to two. And we prayed, like many of you, God, show us your man. And we believe he's shown us his man. But we are providing opportunities to meet in homes, in different places, for you to do your due diligence, to learn his theology, what his passion is, what his heart is, what his ministry has been, what his life has been. And I'm challenging every one of you, the week of February 23rd through March 1st, we have these meetings, that you come to one of these meetings as he explains that to you, and you can ask your questions at that time. So you know without a doubt who God has sent. Without a question, because you have done your due diligence. Because we know what happens when we don't do our due diligence. But most of all, we are so thankful for your prayers. We are so thankful for your support. And we're so thankful for you being here at Grace Community Church to serve God and what he has for us. So again, if you have something on your heart, something that is said, the trusting and resting in God, Amy and Matt would love to pray with you. And at this, and also in the back with Dave Ramsey, to sign up there. And also the giving statements, don't forget that. But you know, we're tired. My wife will tell you how tired I am. Because I'm crab when I'm tired. And I didn't get my Snickers bar. But you know, I am so happy to see what he's going to do for this church outside of these four walls, because there's people that need to know Christ. If you're not ready, you better get ready, because that's where we're headed. So have a great day. Appreciate all of you. Don't forget Amy and Matt over here, or any one of us. And we love you all.